Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's good to have you with us here on 2 July 22. My, where did this year go? Huh? 6 months are in the books. Can't change it. You only got 24 hours. Do something with it. Got to kind of make a decision. I am going to successfully succeed in all of my success on this day so I'll be successful. Because if and you don't, there's a... I'm not going to make that statement. But today, we are in the book of 2 Kings. Elijah went to heaven yesterday. And in a flaming chariot with flaming horsemen, Elisha picked up the mantle. And today, we get to see some amazing miracles in Elisha's ministry. I'm telling you, the book of 2 Kings is one of the most amazing books. And there are some miracles in this book. And today, we're probably going to read my second or third or tied for first favorite chapter in the book of 2 Kings. And powerful stories for us today, in Jesus' mighty name. Share it with your family and friends right down there in the notes of the program is a link that says full YouTube. And that starts anybody that wants to join us in Genesis chapter 1. And then we go all the way through it and send it to people. Because it's a simple way for people to get connected to God, even if they don't, if they may be afraid of church, but they still have a pastor that's pastoring them, and it's only 15, 20, 30 minutes a day, depending on how many chapters. Now, today, we got a whole stack of chapters to read. So, we probably ought to get ourselves going. Are you ready? Let's pray our opening prayer today. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and my body to be led by you today so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith so that I will be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the saints. That's a lot of people. All the way from Adam and Eve. A lot of saints. What is the width and the length and the depth and the height? So I will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Here we go. 2 Kings 5. This is probably my favorite story. I know I say that a lot. But this is New Testament style miracles in the Old Covenant with the mighty man of God who believed in God. Here we go. Naaman's leprosy is healed. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. So he's a commander, and this is his wife and their servant girl from Israel. And she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And her master's wife said, well, tell me the story. So she did. Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." King of Syria said, "Go now. I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed, took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and a small army to protect him from thieves and robbers. That's a lot of gold.
Yeah, it is. That's not light.
And 10 changes of clothing. See, they even like Christine Dior and you know, Converse tennis shoes and everything back then. They actually had changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." It happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy?" I mean, he's real spiritual, isn't he? "Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." You know, he's going to try to fight him now. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, because evidently that was news that traveled in that day. And all these guys are tearing their clothes. And he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me. He shall know that there's a prophet in Israel." Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious. Now wait, verse 1 says he was a man of great honor, and he shouldn't become furious. "And went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." See, he had an idea in his mind of how he knew God was going to work. Have you ever been there?
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Maybe God's even told you how he's going to work. And it didn't happen yet. But God is God. Let him be God.
Yeah.
Quit trying to take the pen out of his hand when he's writing your story, because he writes a better story than you do. And he really writes a better story than your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, and your mother-in-law. And just an idea that might help you. 12. "Are not the Abana and the Farfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all these waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. I don't think that's an honorable man. He sounds to me like a thumbsucker that's not getting his way. "Come near and speak to him and said, my father, if the prophet has told you to do something great, would you have done it? How much more when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and said, "I don't know why this little girl is bugging me, but I better go do this. Dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." And needless to say, he got up and jumped and danced and shouted, and he was clean of leprosy. That's pretty serious.
Yeah.
"And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I'll receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, "Then, if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord." Isn't that interesting? Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the temple of Ramon to worship there. And he leans at my hand and I bow down the temple of Ramon. When I bow down the temple of Ramon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. He said to him, go in peace. And he departed from him a short distance. But Gehazi, do not do this. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman, the Syrian, while not receiving from his hand what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from his chariot to meet him. He said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, two young men, the sons of the prophet, have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. Liar, liar, your robe is on fire. If you're going to lie about somebody, don't lie about a prophet.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because they can tell when you changed your socks last. 23. Naaman said, please take two talents. And he urged him. And he bound two talents of silver in two bags, changes of garments, and he handed them to two of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master Elisha and said to him, Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere, except I just lied again. If you're going to lie, don't lie to the prophet. Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothes, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence leprous, as white as snow. Wow. The majestic word of God. At 1 Kings chapter 2 Kings chapter 6, the floating axe head. The sons of the prophet said to Elijah, see now the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell. He answered, go. He's a man of many words. Go. Verse 3. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came down to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there. And it made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. And there's no verse here, but it should say, and all who stood on the shore were greatly amazed that the axe head floated. Doesn't that sound like a good verse to put right there? Just remember, I nor Sister Leanne are the Holy Spirit. Even though most women really believe they are the Holy Spirit. Wait, that was just a passing joke. It's like the one woman said, let me explain the Holy Spirit to you. Duck just low enough that he can hit your husband right between the eyes. Verse number 8. I love this story. This is probably my most favorite story in 2 Kings. This is a cool story. As the king of Syria was making war against Israel, he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such a place. And the man of God said to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass the place, for the Syrians are coming down there. And then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him and was watchful there, and not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? One of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Red, yellow, black, and white. He turns 18 colors. Are you serious? So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. He was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. They're going to take one guy, a prophet, and it takes a whole great army. May that always be the case in all of our lives. Amen. May they shake and tremble in fear when we show up. And they sent horse chariots, and they came and surrounded the city. It's 15, when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses, chariots, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, while I was out waxing the donkey, I saw all this. What shall we do?" The waxing the donkey part was my own part. You know how men are, the first thing in the morning, they're going to go out and kick the tires. Well, don't kick a mule. He'll kick you. Anyways. Yeah. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Wow. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed and to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, that's messed up. Because as soon as the commander of the host that has come against you goes blind, everybody's like, no, where are we at? What are we doing? Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." The Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And there they were inside Samaria. They must have all known what it looked like. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Elisha's thinking on a higher plane. Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away. And they went to their master, so the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Verse 24, And it happened after that, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. You are hungry when you pay 80 shekels of silver for a donkey's head. And 1/4 of a cob of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Do you eat it, or do you burn it, or what do you do with it? No way. 26, as the king of Israel was passing by in the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give me your son that we may eat him today, and then we will eat my son tomorrow.'" You're twisted.
Can you imagine the level of...
You're twisted, and you're perverse, and you're wicked. "So we boiled my son and ate him." We boiled my son and ate him. That's just stupid. "And I said to her, 'On the next day, give your son that we may eat him.' She has hidden her son." Happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes. Here they go, tearing the clothes again. And as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. And he said, "God do so to me and more also if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today." But Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messengers came to him, he said to the elders, "Do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he was still talking with him, there was the messenger coming down to him. Surely the king said, then the king said, "Surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" How many chapters am I reading today? That was chapter 6. We're going to chapter 8. Well, isn't that something? People just don't get it, do they? And let's make sure we do.
Amen.
Amen. Here we go. Chapter 7. Now, this is probably my most favorite chapter of all of 2 Kings right here. Well, maybe not. Yeah, you think? Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Isn't that interesting? Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? I want you to see something." The lepers picked up the message of the prophet in the realm of the spirit, and nobody else in Samaria got it but these 4 lepers. They had faith. Verse 4, if we say, if we enter the city, the famine's in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we're going to die. Therefore, let us come and surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we live. And if they kill us, we shall only die, but we're going to die anyways. Miserable. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. Wouldn't you just love to have been there to see it?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, come on. The Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp and tacked their tents, their horses, and their donkeys. And they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, ate and drank, and carried away from it silver and gold and clothing. And they went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried away some from there also and went and hid it. Verse 9, then they said to one another, "Hey, boys, we better do something different here. We're not doing right. This day is the day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, let us go and tell the king's household." Verse 10, so they went and called to the gatekeeper of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied, and the tents still intact." And the gatekeeper called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "Let me tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city." Which is, you know, it's a pretty good strategy. You're messing with God. Stop messing with God, because he can play a game that you don't know nothing about. Verse 13, one of his servants answered and said, "Please let us take 5 of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see." Therefore, they took the 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrians' army, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them to the Jordan. And indeed, all the road was full of garments. Garments, okay. That means what they were wearing, as in clothing, and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. The messengers returned and told the king, and the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord to the prophet. Verse 17, now the king had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, but the people trampled him in the gate, and he died just as the man of God had said who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two seahs of barley for a shekel and a seah of fine flour for a shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gates of Samaria. Then the officer that had answered the man of God and said, now look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he had said, in fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. So it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. God said, you're not going to get to eat of it. And guess what? Just don't be stupid, you know? Of all the things you can be in this world, stupid is not one of them.
You want to be, no.
Some people have a problem with prophets, and they wouldn't be able to recognize one. And so they would end up rebuking a prophet. You got to learn to get yourself in tune with God Almighty. That's not church. That's not religion. It's not religiosity. That's not denominationalism. Get this nose, these two eyes, these two ears in this book and find out what it says. Because on the other side, you're going to be held accountable for what it says. Here we go. Chapter number 8. The king restores the Shunammites' land. This is a really good story. This is probably my most favorite story in the book of 2 Kings.
In 2 Kings.
I love these stories. Elisha spoke to the woman whose son had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. Furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. The woman arose, did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the famines of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of the 7 years, the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal for the king, to the king, for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. And it happened as he was telling the king how he'd restored the dead to life. Then there was the woman whose son had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is a woman. This is the woman. And this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. She walked in the courtroom right when it happened. Right while he was talking about her. Isn't the angels of God just something that to be reckoned with? Verse 6, when the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now. Verse 7, then Ben-Hadad, here comes Ben again, of Syria was sick, and it was told him, saying, the man of God has come up here. And the king said to Hazael, take a present in your hand and go to meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover from this disease? Hazael went to meet him, took a present with him of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camel loads, and he came and stood before him. And he said, your son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to you, saying, shall I recover from this disease? And Elisha said to him, go say to him, you shall certainly recover. However, the Lord has shown me that he will really die. Then he set his countenance in a stare until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. Hazael said, why is my Lord weeping? He answered, because I know the evil that you will do for the children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with a sword, and you will dash their children and rise up and rip open their mother with child. Brutal, wicked people. So Hazael said, but what is your servant? A dog? that he should do this gross thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord has shown me that you will become king of Syria. Then he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, what did Elisha say to you? And he answered, he told me, you would surely recover. But it happened on the next day that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water, spread it over his face, so that he died, and Hazael reigned in his place. Treachery, treachery, treachery. All right? Now in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, having been king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, began to reign as king of Judah. And he was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. I'm in verse 19, 2 Kings 8:19. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David, as he promised him to give him a lamp to him and his sons forever. In his days, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. So Joram went to Zar and all his chariots with him. He arose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him, and the captains of the chariots and the troops fled to their tents. Now, thus Edom had been revolted against Judah's authority to this day. To this day. Remember, Edom was the followers of Cain, and they were not holy at all. They were wicked, idolatrous people. So they didn't really understand this, and somebody would have to go buy them the revelation, they would have to hand it to them, because these people were spiritually, they just didn't get it. They just didn't get it. And everybody's holding on to the promise. Well, God promised David, so I get to sit on the throne now. Mm-hmm. Well, you stinking morons, do something righteous. Yeah. Did I say that out loud, or was it the tornado siren on or something?
It's recorded.
It's like people in the day we live. Telling people, when you sin, it doesn't matter if you sin every day. God doesn't care if you sin every day once you're born again. You don't even have to be a highly educated Bible scholar to say, hold it. Why would he make Jesus die such a horrible death if it didn't matter? No, it matters.
It does matter.
But God will help you live above it and give it his righteousness, and then you're free from it. You don't even have to worry about it.
Well, and it leaves you open for the enemy to work in your life, because you don't want that.
Got my numbers all mixed up now. Uh-oh. Here we go. 33:56. Hmm? I'm in 2 Kings 8:25. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. He walked in the way of the house of Ahab, did evil in the sight of the Lord like the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab, not necessarily a prestigious position. 28, now he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. Then King Joram went back to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him at Ramoth when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, this is the part we call circle the wagon. Now, I just want you to think. Here in the midst of all of the wickedness of these kings is a righteous prophet that's so accurate in God, he can make an axe head float. Now, the reality is all of us have that much accuracy in God. We just don't fine-tune it. We just don't give ourselves to learning what it is. But in the mighty name of Jesus, we're learning. And may God richly bless every part of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
You
give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Everybody pray it with us. Put your hands out and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life.
Jesus, I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the
pray
Word of God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as a believer every single day.
As a believer every day.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
Mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen and oh my and hallelujah. Now, you might say, Pastor, what's this all about here? Something's changing in my life. Yeah, the thing that's changing in your life is that God Almighty has come in, and he's now leading from the inside out. And when God comes in, he fills every part of you with all of him. And the only thing you got to do is get this mind renewed to the Word of God so you'll know exactly what he says and what you're going to be judged for on the other side. And you will walk with God here in such great peace and rest and joy. He's living in you, and he's going to be with you. Well, we're already at 38 minutes, so better not belabor the point today. Remember, Sunday morning, we receive communion with it. Make sure you have your communion elements ready, grape juice and bread. And we bless you and yours this holiday weekend. This is the time to celebrate the birth of our great nation. Every veteran you see, shake their hand and tell them thank you for their service. And you might even add, for those who fought for it, freedom has a flavor. The protected will never know. To all of you Gold Star families, I salute you today. I thank you for your service to this great nation every single day of your life. And we call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, look at there. Nikki Olson's with us. God bless
hello,
you, ma'am.
Nikki Olson.
She says, I'm going to sit back and listen until I fall asleep. Hey, Nikki! If we make faces and everything, will you stay awake? God bless you, ma'am. It's so good to see you being with us again tonight. God bless your family. All y'all, I mean, this is 45 nations of the world. And over 900 people connect to us every month. Communicate with us. Send us an email. Send us a snail mail. Send us a carrier pigeon, because I'd like to see what that looks like when he lands on our deck. How did they know where to go? Or was there like a main carrier pigeon central location? Like Grand Central Station where all the birds landed.
Sure. Not sure.
I'm not sure either. Anyways, God bless you. And thank you for being our friend and our partner. In Jesus' mighty name. See you soon.